Just a heads up, everyone, these are adults having adult conversations, so there is the possibility of adult language. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Magic Lessons, a podcast produced by MaximumFun.org and Riverhead Books. I'm Elizabeth Gilbert, and I just wrote this book called Big Magic, Creative Living Beyond Fear. But even when I was finished with the book, I didn't feel like I was really finished with the subject. So I wanted to make this podcast where I could take the subject of creativity out into the world and have real conversations with real people about it. And that's where magic lessons come from. And what are magic lessons? Roadmaps for the path to creativity, the extra nudge we need when we're feeling stuck in our creative lives. Hey everyone, welcome to Magic Lessons. I'm Liz Gilbert, and today I'm calling Missy in Florida. Hi, Missy, is that you?
Yes, it is. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, how's it going, sweetie?
I'm doing great today.
Because we're going to have a magic lesson.
I know, I'm so excited.
I am too. I am so excited to talk to you because I'm really excited and inspired by what I've heard so far about your story. So I was wondering if you could just begin by telling me, apparently you wrote to me that you have the most boring job in the world, which caught my attention because that's, you know, the bar is pretty high for that. There's a lot of really boring jobs. So tell me kind of what your day-to-day life is looking like at this point in your life.
I'm a call center rep for an insurance company. And what we do is basically welcome new members to the plan. And we have to follow a script. And we can't deviate from the script. I mean, we can, it doesn't really leave much room for human contact. We could just have to follow the script and the call and then wait for the next one to come in. And I do that about 30 to 40 times a day with maybe 2 15-minute breaks and half an hour lunch.
So oh, my
where,
gosh.
So that's where I'm at right now. And
yeah.
I'm sure that there are other boring jobs in the world, but to me, this has to be the most boring job for me, for my personality.
Yeah, because you sound like you're a really sparkling person, and it sounds like there's not a lot of room in there for sparkling.
No, I always joke to my coworkers that we can't look happy because they get suspicious as to what we're up to because, you know, happiness isn't part of the job description. They just kind of want us to complete the calls and move on.
It's like you work in like a vocal assembly line.
Pretty much.
Like the words are the product that you're just sending off on the assembly line every day.
It really is. As you can hear my coworkers. We work in a team of 15, and it's just one big echo if you walk
wow.
by us because everyone is always at a different point in the call, but it's the same conversation over and over again.
It almost seems like it's engineered specifically to drive creativity and life force out of people.
Some days are very draining. And we have quality assurance scores. And if we deviate from the conversation too much, we can lose points and that affects your overall performance. There's some people that can do that for several years and I commend them. But for my personality, it just stifles my light.
So now that you've established sort of what your daytime hours are like, look, nobody's feelings are going to be hurt that your heart is not in call center work. So where is your heart? Like, what is it that you're longing to create?
I've been writing since I was 15 years old. Reading, writing has always been a beacon for me. Whenever anything is going wrong, it just kind of centers me very, very quickly and very genuinely. And so I've recently been experiencing that I've had these very vivid dreams. And I've just written out the dream in a very stream of consciousness way.
Uh-huh.
And they're no more than 4 or 5 pages, but I feel that maybe I should fall down this rabbit hole and chase that down. So I'm trying to set myself a goal to complete at least one short story by the end of this year and just kind of get myself going in that direction. It's 100% for myself. I don't expect to make a career out of it or get rich. I just feel that it's a really good way to balance the 9-to-5 side of my life. There are things that we have to do in order to survive. I mean, unfortunately, it is a paycheck.
Yeah.
But I spend enough time not searching and not trying to create and not trying to move myself that way that I know it's it really, I do lose a part of myself, and I just want to implement that in my life so that I have it, a part of it, so I don't really lose myself.
Oh my God, you're making me, first of all, want to just start crying because I love everything that you're saying so much. You know, you're speaking to the core of my core of my core with all that you're saying. And I also just feel like letting you know that, you know, you're talking about wanting to chase this thing, right? Like you use that word. I got to tell you, it's chasing you, you know, like it's coming after you. It's coming after you in your sleep. It's leaking out of you in your precious free moments. It wants to work with you, you know, as much as you want to work with it. There's this wonderful line from a poem from this Sufi poet named Rumi who said, "The thing that you are seeking is also seeking you." And that's kind of at the fundament of everything that I believe about my personal magical thinking about creativity is that this thing wants to be made just as much as you want to make it, you know? And so it's sending you every possible signal that it can, right? It's interrupting your sleep. It's filling you with excitement and inspiration. It's daring you to try to come near it. It's trying to seduce you, basically, right? And so I want you to go have an affair with it.
I'm up for it. Let's do it.
Yeah, let's definitely do it. Do you feel like you have any particular fears that are blocking you from beginning, or do you think you're ready to embark on this?
I don't think I'm scared anymore. I'm 32, so my 20s were tumultuous and dramatic.
I don't know anything about that.
Right, I know. And so I feel like I'm in a place where I have to chase it down.
Yeah.
But I'm also inspired by my mother. I know that that's very cliche, but I feel very connected to her right now. We've had a very complicated relationship in the past, but we're in such a good place. And there's certain things happening in her personal life as far as health is concerned where it's really caused me to, my antenna is kind of alert to, like, I want to honor her.
Wow.
My mother came to this country and stayed in this country for her kids.
Yeah.
Because she wanted us to do better than herself.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's the dream for any parent. And I feel like if nothing else, this is a small way to honor that. If I can't have my grandiose, like, extravagant world traveler adventures, maybe if I start here, it's a step in the right direction.
Wow.
And if I can do better for myself, I think that's a good way to repay her. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, I understand. I always have this feeling, too, about my mom, that my mother worked too hard for me not to try to have a great life. You know,
yeah.
And it's kind of, there's a karmic balance that you have to aim for, that just out of regard and gratitude, you know, for what was given to you. And I love that you are seeing your creativity as a way of honoring and responding to that. There's a wonderful line I wanted to read to you from a poem by an Irish poet named Patrick Kavanagh. And it feels like it really applies to you. So I'm just going to give you this line, okay?
Okay.
And it's about people living creative lives even when they don't have time, even when they don't have resources, even when it seems impossible. Which is most people, right? It's like mostly everything that has ever been made of beauty in this world was made by people who didn't have time. You know, this is not Patrick Kavanagh speaking. This is Liz Gilbert speaking. But, you know, it's mostly been made by people who didn't have time, didn't have resources, didn't have training, didn't have connections, but had this compelling thing within them that just said, I'm not going to leave you alone until you make me, right? Like that's what the whole history of human creativity is. And he has this line about it that I absolutely love. It says, "See over there a created splendor made by one individual from things residual," right? It's like one person took a bunch of like leftover stuff that no one was using and made something amazing out of it, you know? And that's kind of the situation that you're in right now too. And I also feel like you understand already this fundamental point that any talent that we have but do not use becomes a burden. It starts to hurt, you know? It starts to be kind of painful. So here's what I want to know. Would you be able to start this like this weekend?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you have an idea for a short story? Is there something, a particular one of your dreams that you want to try to manifest into something more solid and real?
Yes. I want to see my instinct as a writer. Every short story that I've ever written, and I think it's because I journal more than anything else on my, what's going on in my head,
yeah,
has always been kind of a version of what is happening, but I fix it
right
in my stories. And so I'd like to explore my relationship with my mother
right
through a short story. And I feel like by exploring it and just seeing what comes out of me, first of all, I think it would be a lot of peace for me personally, but I think it would be a great way to start, a great place to start.
Yeah. I think that sounds wonderful and perfect and with exactly the right intent. I always say that there's a difference between journaling and writing. And I know because I have always been an avid journal keeper, and I think that's really important for a writer. But you know, there's this kind of shift that happens when there's this difference between the sort of spirit and the emotion behind just recording like a chronicle of what's going on. And then the storytelling is when you then polish it, change it, shape it, sand edges off of it, paint it, alter it, you know, so that it becomes something that's almost safer to hold and to display. Like sometimes it takes all the sort of edges and sadness off of it and fixes it, like you said, you know, like sort of tidies it up. I have to ask you too, do you know anybody else who wants to be a writer or is writing?
I know some of my friends are writers. They don't actively do that. I have a friend of mine who used to write spy novels, or he was trying to write a spy novel, and he would send me some of his chapters, and they were great. But he's, busy, so he hasn't really, I don't think he's really tapped into that lately. I'm not surrounded by a community of writers. Nobody in my family is an artist.
Yeah.
I come from a family of engineers and doctors. So when I say I want to be a writer, they think I might as well be telling them I'm joining the circus.
You are. Welcome to the circus.
I'm so excited to be here. The regular world, I have to tell you, is really boring. But I am trying to, at least online, connect myself to the community of writers. I am on your page, I'm not even joking, at least 3 times a day.
Oh, honey.
And it didn't even occur to me to look for book conventions and writing conventions. For some reason, the thought never crossed my mind. And I Googled it last week, and there is a community out there thriving and connecting all the time. So I feel like I don't have it personally, but I think I can definitely connect myself to the community of writers because of the wonderful internet.
Yeah, I mean, really, it's an enormous resource. And I bring it up because I want to give you a little bit of a challenge, too. I have 2 challenges for you.
Okay.
Two assignments, really. One of them is to start writing this short story. And the second one is to start, just even if it's just baby steps, I want you to start working toward creating some sort of a community of like-minded people around you. And those people might be in New Zealand over the internet, or they might really be around you in your neighborhood, like your friend that you were talking about who was writing spy novels. And I got to tell you, like, I didn't go to school for writing because I actually couldn't afford it. I also wasn't sure how much it would serve me to go and get like a graduate degree in creative writing, even though those things exist. And there are really good writers who went through those programs and came out of them. But there are also some really good writers who didn't. And what I did instead in my 20s was I created the community that I longed for, because I grew up also in a family of engineers. I never met a writer in my entire life. But I knew that there were some people probably within like a couple miles of me who were also privately, secretly in their bedrooms doing this kind of work, you know? And so I found them. I found like 4 or 5 of them. And we started our own writing workshop that we would meet twice a month. And we called ourselves the Fat Kids. I don't even remember why. But we called ourselves the Fat Kids. We met. It cost nothing. You know what I mean? Like, except
right.
for we bought pizza and beer. So we had to spend money on pizza and beer. But other than that, it cost absolutely nothing, and it just made me feel less alone in the world of endeavor that I was looking for. And we handpicked each other so that we were all really kind people, because sometimes people can be really cruel to each other's work, and you don't need that right now in your life, you know? So if you can start looking toward assembling people. And you know what? They don't even have to all be writers. They can just be makers. You know, if you know anybody who's doing any kind of creativity whatsoever, you start this sort of loose organization of people who get together and help each other, and you look at each other's work and you set assignments for each other so that you have somebody on the other end waiting for it. I think one of the hardest things about working all alone like you're doing, which is so brave and cool, and I did it for 10 years. You know, I called myself a writer 10 years before anybody else did. But there is a kind of loneliness in that, and you're sort of in a vacuum. And so there can be something really beautiful and nourishing about the community, and there can also be something really galvanizing about having somebody say, you have this assignment due next time we meet.
Right.
And sometimes that's the only way it gets done, is if somebody's waiting for it and they're going to hold you to it. So that's my second assignment for you. My first one, which I feel like in a weird way is easier. I think you're so ready to go. It feels like you're not scared and you're excited and you've got all the right motivations. And I think you're ready to write. And I think you're going to do that short story. But now I want you to find your tribe.
Okay.
All right? And if you can't find them, you're going to have to make it.
No, I can do it.
And that, you know, you're so charismatic that I don't think you're going to have any trouble doing that.
Thank you.
You know, when we don't have the tribe that we want in the world, we have to go, like, apparently you might have to be the leader of that.
I'm okay with that.
Look, if I was in South Florida, I would follow you. So I'm sure you're not going to have any trouble finding people to follow you. So Missy, is it okay if I check in with you later in the summer and see how those two assignments are going?
Yes, please. I'd love to keep in touch.
Okay. And I have to tell you, can I tell you one more story?
Yes, please.
So when you were talking about having the most boring job in the world, I have to say that may prepare you really well to be a writer because a lot of writing is really dull. And the thing that separates people who get their writing done from people who don't is that the ones who get it done are the ones who can endure the tedium of just sort of sitting there having it not work and having it be boring and having it be repetitive and just, you know, keep typing until it becomes writing, basically, right?
Mm-hmm.
And to stay with it. And I knew this guy who was a short story writer. And he grew up in the middle of Nebraska in the smallest town in the world. His school had 10 people in it in the middle of cornfields. He was so bored. His entire life, he dreamed of going to sea and seeing the ocean. And because he lived in the most landlocked piece of North America,
like, oh
he was as far from the ocean as you can be in the Western Hemisphere, basically, right? So he joined the Navy. And the first thing they did was put him on a submarine, and he had to go into this tiny box under the ocean for 6 months at a time and not see daylight or anything. So it was so ironic and horrible, and it was so tedious. There's like no relief from being on a nuclear submarine. And he did that for 2 years, and when he was finished with it, he said, "The most amazing thing has happened to me. The most boring part of my life is over, and nothing will ever seem boring to me again because anything that's not a nuclear submarine is kind of amazing." And he said, "And I'm ready to be a writer because I know that I can endure being bored." So I feel like with you and your call center, that's kind of your nuclear submarine. You know, anything that happens in your life that isn't that is going to be so much more interesting and so much more invigorating. And you have all the training you need to sit down and do a task that can be really sometimes unrewarding and unfulfilling, knowing that there's a payoff at the end and that the payoff is the expansion and the ignition of your own soul.
Sounds amazing.
All right, girl. You got this.
I'm so happy that I got to speak to you. You don't even know. I'm such a fan. And it just so happens that when you posted the link to this, I was watching you on Oprah's Super Soul Sunday.
So it's
serendipitous that I came across it. I'm so excited that I got to speak to you. It's really an honor. And I thank you so much for being so true to yourself and for sharing it with all of us, because it's like you're sitting right next to me some days, and it's great. I really appreciate that.
Missy, I am your fan. I think you're amazing and awesome, and thank you for sharing yourself. And I can't wait to read your short story, and I can't wait to hear about your community of artists that you're going to start creating in your life. All right, sweetheart?
Okay.
All right, go get it.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Magic Lessons is produced by MaximumFun.org and Riverhead Books. Michelle Siegel is our producer. Our executive producer is Jesse Thorne. Our theme music is by Dave Cahill. Special thanks to Becky Salatin, Jeffrey Klosky, Michelle Kafopoulos, Lydia Hurt, and Paul Ruest of Argo Studios. If you want to learn more about my ideas on creative inspiration, check out my new book, Big Magic, Creative Living Beyond Fear. It's published by Riverhead, and it comes out September 22nd, 2015. You can find out more information about my comings and goings on elizabethgilbert.com, and you can always find me, personally, on Facebook, because I'm there literally every single day. So let's keep the conversation going. Thanks for listening. I hope you'll join me next time on Magic Lessons. I'm going to be talking to Pastor Rob Bell about Missy's situation and also about creative inspiration in general. It's going to be great. I hope you'll tune in. Thanks.